now that I've laid down the structure of thought, the patriarchal paradigm, which used to be the traditional classroom, the teacher up front giving facts and rules, commands and truth, blessing those children who obey, chasing those children who disobey or get things wrong, you could say the same thing, and then casting out those children who are disrespectful to authority in the classroom. See, this applies in the workplace. It applied in government. Every facet of society used to be structured on this patriarchal paradigm. But there's always been a grating against it. And that's our nature because we come into this world with a heresiarchal paradigm. That's the way of thinking and acting as a child. And again, a child approaches pleasure and avoids pain. The father gives commands and rules, facts and truth, blesses, chastens, and casts out. Those are the four things. The children approach pleasure and avoid pain. Now, if we look at the dialectic, it wants to negate. It's called negation of negation. It wants to get rid of the father's authority in the feelings, the thoughts, the actions of the child, as well as the relationship the children have with one another. In other words, the children are telling one another, that's right. You know, what you're doing is wrong. What I'm saying is right. That's a right-wrong way of thinking. No, now we're into equality. We're not into a top-down system. And most all of our history books have been written this way. How to get rid of this feudalistic way of thinking. Somebody telling you, you know, what to do, what not to do. The traditional boss. This would be the socialists always looking at capitalism. But now, with man, there's always a problem with this. It isn't, you know, whether you're a socialist or a capitalist, both can end up in hell because they've rejected the issue of sin. It's not an issue of socialism and capitalism per se. It is an issue of your heart before God. In fact, we really find in Scripture a very capitulation. See, capitalism, capitulation. Jesus capitulated to his Father's will. See, as you capitulate to someone, they hire you, they pay you. Hopefully you know how to write a contract. And hopefully there's a culture that actually allows you to be paid what you're worth, you know, at least feed your family. And so that there's some morality that has to go with this structure. But at the same time, it is a structure. It's a patriarchal structure. It's a patriarchal paradigm. But the heresiarchal paradigm is the children. Now, the dialectic goes to the synthesis. It gets rid of this father's commanding and children feeling. Doesn't mean parents don't have feelings too. In fact, the Bible says our earthly father is different than our heavenly father because our earthly fathers chasten us for their own pleasure. There's the child in them. But God chastens us that we might partake in his holiness. The spiritual, see. It's eternal. So if your father is just living for the moment, say he still has that top-down system. Dad and mom aren't perfect, but that office is. If he's using that office just for his own pleasure, there's no eternal consequence to that for you. There is for him. But there's not going to be a directing towards walking righteous before God or walking right before God. Now, let's look at the formula. If we start out with thesis, and we have an antithesis, which you would say is an opposing position, and that's where we go. We apply it, first of all, with the father. We make the father the thesis. We give him the position. And therefore, the antithesis would be the child's feelings. Dad says you can't go out. The child wants to go out. The dopamine's out the door. There's no dopamine staying home. Friends are all out there. They're going to have a good time. But Dad says you can't go out. And so that's preaching and teaching. If you look at structure, that's the old preach and teach, preach and teach, preach and teach. And by the way, that's all God's given us. That's casting the net out. You just preach and teach, and God brings the increase. You know, you sow and you water. You sow preaching and you water, and that's teaching. When somebody hears, then you teach them. And that's it. And the rest is in God's hands. The Holy Spirit brings them in a conviction, puts in their heart the desire. See, they have faith, they desire to know the truth, and then you can teach them, and then they grow in their knowledge of the Lord in their relationship with him. So the ultimate hope for a earthly father is not that his children would have faith in him, but they would have faith in his heavenly Father. See, so that it's not that your children would be thinking when they grow up, what would Dad say, that earthly father? But they would be thinking, what does my heavenly Father think? You know, what would he say? What's he thinking of me? See, and that's truly successful. If you're as a father, you've succeeded in instilling that in your children, that they're weighing their thoughts and their actions from the Word of God, then that's really what this is all about. That's what Adam and Eve were supposed to do in the garden. They were to evaluate. We're made in the image of God because we can evaluate. Now, animals can't evaluate. It's stimulus response. That's really not evaluation. Evaluation is you can read a book and then learn there's right and there's wrong, and then go out and evaluate your own life and the world from those standards. And so, and that's what God did with Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, with Adam, you know, do this, don't do that. It's a spoken word, but they have a standard to work from. But instead, they decided to lean to their own understanding. And your understanding always comes from your feelings. There's the dopamine. There's the approach pleasure and avoid pain. That's all you and I have apart from God. See, we're all philosophers. You know what philosophy is? It's simply a child who's dissatisfied with the way things are, thinking about how they ought to be. See, Dad says you can't go out. Why? Because the why will get him into dialogue. Dialogue and discussion are different. I can say to my son, come here, we're going to discuss your behavior. I never step out of my office of authority in discussion. I am bringing him to my position, and hopefully in the discussion. Now, he can show me where I'm wrong. And if I am wrong, I should admit, well, that is wrong. You know, I should have spanked you for that. I didn't have all the information. Or, you know, I shouldn't have done this or that. But when it comes to the Word of God, no. Because as a child, see, children obey your parents in the Lord. I am to obey the authorities, but under God. See, when the government says do this and the Word of God says don't do that, then I have a choice. See, only God gives me a true choice. Because apart from him, we only have one choice, and that's to go with the world. So the world says, oh, we want to give you a choice. Well, the only choice you have is get rid of God. Get rid of the Father. See, get away from faith. You understand why the choice is out there? Why change is always out there? The facilitator of change is always to move us away from the Father's authority. So if we start with thesis as a father, and the father gives a command, now the child, because he doesn't want to do it, he has feelings, says, well, you know, why, Dad? Why do I have to go out? That's dialogue. I feel, you feel, I think, you think, dialogue. But Dad stops that with, because I said so. And in essence, that phrase means, I'm the creator and you're the created. I cause to be. I am the law creator, as God gave the law. I am the legislator. I am the judiciary. I make the judgment of whether you fulfilled that law or not. And I'm the executioner. See, I'm the executive. You know, in God's case, he kicked him out of the garden, kicked him out of the house. So you totally disrespected my authority. You're out of here. Now, you don't do that with a child, but there comes a certain age where you just say, you know what, you're tearing up the house. You're destroying the home. And therefore, you refuse to hear. In fact, you know, back in the laws and the prophets, what the parents were to do is with the village that they were in, they were to stone the child. God went to Eli, said, your children are out, you're out of control. Get your home in order. And by the way, Eli, you're toast. You know, there's nobody in you, your family. That, in fact, God was going to get rid of him. But he cried out and he said, okay. God says, okay, you can, the rest of your life you can be a priest, but that's it. You lost your blessing because you would not be a father over your children. Now, what happened in the garden is the common core classroom. It comes from books like Bloom's Taxonomies. And what they did was they introduced the cognitive domain, cognition, facts, knowledge. We would think that would be with science, but they didn't. They applied it through feelings. See, book one, Cognitive Domain, back in 1956, Bloom says, we recognize a point of view that truth and knowledge is only relative, and that there are no lasting truths for all times and all places. That's page 32. All of your teachers. I was trained in a Christian college back, graduated in 71 from a Christian college in Bloom's taxonomies. All certified teachers today are trained on Bloom's taxonomies. Simply paraphrasing Karl Marx, in the eyes of the dialectic philosophy, nothing is absolute, nothing is sacred. And so when the parent says, do this, and you go, why? To get them in dialogue, and they say, because I said so, you talk to yourself. Well, I ought to be able to go out, ought to, should have, might have, could have. And of course, that child is then isolated in his home. And the objective of dialectic thinking is to get him in a classroom and get him to share his ought. Because if the thesis is the father, the antithesis is the child's feelings. And the father can chasten or cast out and keep that authority in place. So what happened in the 50s and 60s was psychology. Oh, let me give you some quotes here. Marx wrote 11 Theses on Feuerbach. Number 4, though. Number 11 is quoted all the time. But number 4 is the key. He says, once the earthly family is discovered to be the secret of the Holy Family. He wrote a book called The Holy Family. The earthly family, he said, the former must be annihilated, theoretically and practically. In other words, in the thoughts of the children and in their actions with relationship with one another. Because if they do it just individually, then there's just anarchy in the home and you have no social order. So they have to do it. That's what the group grade is. How to liberate, emancipate the children from parental authority. And of course, on page 6, he says it's a psychological classification system, Bloom says. And that, again, then is Freud. See, Freud said it's not a matter of whether the father's alive or not. It's just that he no longer functions with a father's authority. So we can keep him around as long as he's not given facts and, you know, commands and rules to be obeyed and facts and truth to be accepted as is, and blessing those children who obey and chastening those who disobey and casting those who rebel against his authority, who question authority and challenge his authority. We keep him around as long as he's social, as long as he's a socialist father, but he's not a true patriarchal father. And so that was the book one, was Marx and Freud. Marx and Freud, both dialectic. Because in all of counseling, when they ask you how you feel, what do you think, there's no father's authority. There's no father's authority in your opinion. Say, isn't it powerful? All I have to do is get your child, say in a Bible class, or what they call it, youth groups. Get your children in a youth group. Oh, tell the parents we're going to study the Bible, and then get them in there, and how do you feel, what do you think about this verse, and there's no father's authority. Jesus came, was sent by the Father, obeyed the Father to death. The Father raised him from the grave. The Father seats him at his right hand and then gives him the kingdom. And the Father's going to tell him when to go get his bride. That's all gone. That's just negated in the act. There is no Father's authority when your child asks you why. And you say, because I said so, and they talk to themselves, I ought to be able, ought to, should have, might have, could have, is in defiance to the thou shalt not eat of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. The command and the rules and the facts and the truth of the Father. See, and so you negate Christ. The Antichrist is a fatherless Christ. And that's the heresiarchal paradigm. That's change. That's what change is all about. So to get to synthesis, you can't get there if you keep the father in position. If I in a classroom is simply preaching and teaching, I will never get the children. I have 20 children from 20 different homes with 20 different positions, and I can never get them to that group grade, to that communism, if I just preach and teach. Because I'd be fired. I'd just tell them all, this is what I believe. You're all, parents are all wrong. I'm out of there. But if I get those children to share their oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda, their dissatisfaction to their parents, the parents' authority, to the father's authority, I get them to share their oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda in that classroom. We talk about any social issue, their oughts are going to come out. I have just liberated, as Satan liberated the woman and Adam in the garden, the very same procedure. And so hopefully you'll understand when Hegel wrote his works, he writes, and of course, you know, Marx and Freud were built off of Hegel's works. Let me quote here quick briefly by Freud, just so you get the point of the father's authority. He says, and this is Freud's interpretation of history. He says, the hatred against patriarchal suppression, in other words, the father tells the children they can't have incest with their mother. Now, Freud's sick. If you ever read Freud's material, all of psychology, you are, call yourself a Christian psychologist, you are built on this. You're built on incest because the issue is relationship with the mother. And the father sees this incestual relationship, according to Freud, this incestual relationship between the children and the mother, and he says it's okay, but the father, see, comes in and sets rules, commands and rules, facts and truth. He calls it polymorphously perverse. And he tells the children, you are not to behave this way. See, he says, this is right, that's wrong. He brings in a patriarchal paradigm into that home, and then he drives out those children who disrespect his authority. This is Freud's history. And so this is Freud, now his writing. The hatred against the patriarchal suppression, a barrier to incest, the desire for the sons to return to the mother, culminates in the rebellion of the exiled sons. They come together. They're kicked out of the home. They then come together as in a consensus, or a consensus with feelings. They agree on feelings, not on the word of God, not on what the dad says. They agree on their feelings of dissatisfaction with parental authority, and then the collective killing and devouring of the father and establishment of the brother clan. That is, Sigmund Freud is on the same page as Karl Marx because they're all thinking dialectic. It's the father in the home that's caused all the problem. It's God in the garden that caused all the problem. And then Hegel writes, the child, contrary to parents, is the absolute, the rationality. Because as a child, when your parents told you you couldn't do something you wanted to do, they were irrational. And so if you start with a child, that's where all of this dialectic starts. The moment I ask you how you feel and what do you think about the Word of God, I'm starting with your flesh. You lust of your flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's where I'm starting. All of counseling. There isn't such a thing as a Christian psychologist because you have to ask the husband and wife and children, get them together. You ask them how do they feel and what do they think, and you just killed the father. You killed the father. You killed the father. You killed the father. That's what you did. And you say, oh, no, I'm trying to bring them all together. No, you killed the father. You killed the father's authority. See, instead of coming along encouraging the father to do what's right before God, you come between the father and the children, like Satan came between God and the children. The child, contrary to parents, Hegel says, is the absolute, the rationality. He is what is enduring and everlasting, the totality. And what is the consequence of this? What if we make the husband and wife and children equal? Here's what Hegel, not Marx. This sounds more Marx than Marx. Hegel writes, on account of the absolute and natural oneness of the husband, the wife, and the children. What's that? Approach pleasure and avoid pain. He made them equal. How do you feel? What do you think? Makes them equal. He then says, what's the consequence? What's happened to our culture? The same thing. All of counseling today is, how do you feel? What do you think? Kills the father, kills the father, kills the father. He writes, the surplus is not the property of one of them. Ah, what's a surplus? That's your children, that's your business, that's your property. You don't own those. The village owns them. The community owns you. He says, all contracts regarding property, this is Hegel now, regarding property or services and the like fall away. The surplus, labor, and property are absolutely common to all, inherently and explicitly. Do you realize that youth group, by getting those children to go, I feel and I think in regard to the word of God, they kill the father and they lose the inheritance. Adam and Eve were going to inherit the garden forever. But the master facilitator of change came into the garden and asked them how they felt and what they thought and liberated them from parental restraint. That's what Common Core is all about. All that group grade is all about. You go to college today, all the professors are required to use Bloom's taxonomies. How do you get to synthesis? How do you get to equality? How do you get to one world system? Start with the children. See, if you start with the children, if you start with equality, you if the father has to participate on equality, he just lost. He has no foundation. I will build my church on this rock. What is the rock? My father said this to you, Peter. The Lord's Prayer is not just some idle words. It starts out, our Father, which art in heaven. Are you weighing your thoughts and actions today from your Heavenly Father? Or are you just weighing them how you feel, what you think, what everybody else feels and thinks? Are you weighing your life from the Word of God? Are you reading the Word of God? Not some man's interpretation of them. See, a minister is not to come between you and the Lord and tell you what God said. He is to come alongside of you, encourage you, and reading the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will give you understanding. So that you're not trusting in men. Cursed is a man who trusts in man, even though he might call himself a minister. You're cursed if you trust in him. You take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You weigh every word that's coming out of anybody's mouth, including your own, from the Word of God. And you can't do that unless you're in the Word of God itself, reading it and applying it to your heart. But the dialectic will steal that from you. Because it'll say, oh, I won't serve the Lord unless it's enjoyable, unless I can get the dopamine out of it. You know, all the prosperity, all the things in this life. Jesus didn't come that you would have success in this life. He came that you would be a witness. The Greek word witness is martyrias. You would lay down, you'd deny yourself. Self loves dopamine. Who are you talking to when your dad told you you couldn't do something? You're talking to yourself. Self is always going to agree with your oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda. That's where the ought come from, is yourself. You're talking to yourself. I can't talk to yourself. You can't talk to myself. Well, I can talk to myself. But if I share you with my opinion, how I feel, what I think, now you're hearing what I talk to myself about. And if we come to agreement, there is no Father's authority in the self. That's why you humble yourself, deny yourself. See, humble yourself, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and that's social. See, the first deals with how you feel and think and act. The second, picking up your cross, is your relationship with others. Are you preaching and teaching the Word of God that they might come to know the truth? Or are you dialoguing? If you're dialoguing, they'll never come to know the truth, because dialogue will always take you to the world. It'll compromise the Word of God for the sake of the relationship. This is so simple, folks. It doesn't matter where you go. This is the structure. I, as a teacher, was trained how to map the room, how to come in, find out those who are preaching and teaching. That's the old traditional patriarch. They might be lost, but the system itself, Mark said, it's not a matter of whether it's the Holy Father system, it's the earthly father system. If we get rid of the traditional home in America, now, the traditional home won't save you, but it's the same system that God uses. If you get rid of that system in a home, the logic is the children will no longer look to an external authority for direction. They will look to themselves. That's the heart of democracy, and democracy always leads to tyranny. And we're seeing it happen all over the nation, where people are looting and killing and burning and doing whatever they feel like doing for the moment because they deserve. I oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda. We have lost godly restraint because in our classrooms, as Bloom's taxonomy, the second one, the effective domain, came in the 60s, we're going to open up to Pandora's box. He actually admits Pandora's box is the heart of evil. We're going to open up that heart of evil out of that child, that oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda. And once you, the lid to Pandora's box is a father's authority. We're going to ask the children how they feel and what they think in that classroom. And dad's dead in that child's thoughts and feelings and actions and in their relationship with one another. And so the facilitators of change don't have to go out and get rid of dad. The children go home, as Bloom says. In his book, page 83, he says, there are many stories of the conflict and tension that these new practices are producing between the children and the parents. So the witness of the textbook, all teachers are trained from. Of course, you know, there's Marzona and Webb have revamped the work, but the whole testimony of Bloom's taxonomies in our current education system is how to liberate the children from the father's authority. That's the dialectic process. There is no father's authority. You go back to Socrates, he was executed for two reasons. He corrupt the morals of the youth, and he destroyed faith in gods. It was plural, but it's the same structure. The children did whatever they felt like was good in their own eyes. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but they end thereof is the ways of death. It's what Adam and the woman did in a garden. And it's what we're doing today as a culture. We've now made it the law. Hegel said lawfulness without law. What does that mean? Well, it means lawfulness. We'll follow the law of the flesh without the law of God. Pretty much sums up where we are today. Purposiveness without purpose. Our purpose in life is to augment pleasure. Without purpose, what's that? Without God telling us what's right and wrong. So these social psychologists, these psychoanalysts have all come up with words simply to deceive us, seduce us with our own feelings, our own self-interests, deceive us with, you won't die. Well, the truth is, every idle word you say, you will be held accountable for. The lie is, oh, we can do it and we're okay. There's no accountability. I'm okay, you're okay. If it feels good, just do it. That's a lie. There's no synthesis. There's only a thesis, antithesis. There's only right and wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell. Only God under man. Man is not equal with God. In fact, see, that was the lie of the church, the lie of that you'll become as gods. Well, God said they became as us, but the thing is, only God is righteous in and of himself. Because God can evaluate from his word, but if we become God, we evaluate from what? Our flesh. Lust of flesh, lust of the eyes of our life. How do you feel today? What do you think? If you evaluate life from that, you're holding hands with the Antichrist. No such thing as a Christian psychologist. God has never called us to go and turn to a man's wisdom for direction. He's called us to turn to his word and to trust in him with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding in all our ways, to acknowledge him and let him be the one who directs our paths.